As guests of the show, feel free to be a part of it. 1-888-767-4348 if you, the homeowner, would like to join as well. But we get to the break, and Julie and Kevin both go, I did the Grand Canyon in this year, and we did the Grand Canyon in that year, and it was the trip of a lifetime. So y'all have both done the whole river. Hang on just a second. One more time.
There you go. Turn me on. It was a great opportunity. My father and I, on graduation, took me down, and my dad and I floated the whole river and put in at Lee's Ferry, came out of Harper's Ferry, went through the forever bit down at Lake Mead waiting to get to – we spent our last night in Scorpion Island, and we were on Canyoneer's rafts, and we had the pontoon boats, and it was a motorized tour, but I think it was like 7 or 8 days, and it was an outstanding trip. It was amazing.
We did it in the early 80s, the whole family, and then we actually got a group of friends and family from all over, and it was the highlight trip I've ever gone on, and I'm not even outdoor campy person. But 20 minutes on the beach, and they already had hot soup for us. So it was a wonderful, wonderful trip.
And in that time in the canyon going through, does it any way compare to just going to the edge of the rim and saying, oh, I've seen the canyon?
Oh, nothing compares. Everybody should float down the canyon if you have an opportunity because you see so much dramatic landscape. You see wildlife. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and then there were stops along the way, obviously, where we hiked up to Havasupai Falls. And
yep.
And even though they were guiding the boats and taking care of our safety and security and feeding us and all those things, they were great tour guides. They were pointing out everything on the edge of the canyon so we could see what was going on. So it was – and like I said at the break, who'd have thought those guys in shorts and tank tops knew how to cook? Because the meals were fantastic, and we never wanted for more, and a great variety. And we got to the very end as we were coming out into Lake Mead where the canyon opens up, and the guys opened up a hidden ice chest they had, and we had a fresh cold soda pop and water that nobody had known about until we got down there. And so it was great.
Very good. Yeah. Well, speaking of food and refreshments, let's get to the reason we have y'all in today. One of my pet peeves is when you see activists or protesters on GMOs this or GMO, and I'm not going to go into whether they're right or they're wrong or demanding that this company does this with their product. I just think, you know what? Just grow your own. You know, you're not doing anything about it. You're sitting there complaining to someone else about how they run their business. Why don't you just do it yourself? Quit whining. I mean, that's really how you're going to make a difference. If it's affecting you that bad, just do it yourself.
Well, and not everyone has that opportunity, but obviously that's a great situation. If everybody could have their own garden. I know we spend a lot of time with the Extension Service for the University of Arizona. They're encouraging schools and school districts to have gardens there. It grades schools around the state in helping kids learn, and we actually have an education outreach program that goes to schools, and we teach kids about where their food comes from, how we grow it, how they could grow it themselves, and we've got different education sessions that talk about whether it's a dairy cow or chickens or beef production or cotton crops or corn crops, things like that, where we actually go into schools and teach the kids so they have a better idea where their food comes from. And one of the big April Fool's jokes that went around was they'd been feeding cows special chocolate imported, and after 2 years, the cows finally gave chocolate milk. And I was all in. I thought, wow, that's a great deal. No more Nestle's Quick, you know.
And speaking of growing
that's
your own.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that great? You've got 10 to 12,000 kids, 4-H FFA kids every year that are raising their own animals, and that's, I know, what we're getting to with the county fairs and stuff. And if you want to buy local, buy it from our 4-Hers and our FFAers during county fair time, which just kicked in about 2 months ago, right, Kevin? And the Maricopa County Fair will be this coming weekend. Well, those 4-H FFA kids, they're raising their own beef or lamb, or it's just really a neat program.
Yeah, it's great for the kids to participate. It's a great hands-on program, and it's not just livestock. Obviously, 4-H deals with photography and food, culinary festivals. They do science and technology now. All kinds of different things will be at the fair, which fires up Wednesday. It goes Wednesday to Sunday, and so people can come down to the county fair, which is at the state fairgrounds. It's unique. Maricopa County is probably one of the only counties in the state that doesn't have their own fairgrounds. So the county fair actually leases the facility and puts on the Maricopa County Fair down at the state fairgrounds, and there'll be several hundred kids with animals from you know, beef market steers, clear down to rabbits and cavies and turkeys and ducks and you name it, pigeons, waterfowl, they're going to have it. And there's an auction Friday evening for the small stock, and then Saturday morning is a large stock auction. And those kids take really good care of their animals. And kids get their animals in the fall, raise them up, and compete this week.
Now, here's my biggest problem with an auction. I can't ever understand what number we're at. How do you keep track of what number we're at?
Just keep raising your hand.
Am I spending $10,000 or $10? I can't tell.
If you sit there for a while and get into the chant, because it's a chant, it's an art, and these guys are professional, obviously, and they know exactly what they're doing. But and we've been going to these auctions for 25+ years. You get where you're at. And there's ringmen that are there to help you. I mean, it's an education process the first time. You want to make sure you're not waving to your long-lost cousin across the room because you may end up buying an animal. So you have to learn to listen so you can pay attention. And a good auctioneer will let you catch your breath and tell you exactly where you're at and go on.
But
and
you might buy your own beef for too much, like my grandpa did several years ago. He wanted to up the price on my brother's 4-H beef project.
Well, and no one outbid him?
And nobody outbid him, so he went home with my brother's beef. But it worked out good. It was good beef.
So how – okay, there's the music. We can do a lot here, but we can't stop the clock. When we get back, let's talk about how much we're looking to invest. How much does a beef cow ready for harvest cost? How much cash do I need to have on hand?
Pick up the Saturday edition of the Arizona Republic for Rosie's Home Improvement column, where we cover the most important topics that every homeowner needs to know.